Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home services marketplace, and they're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie's helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well. My latest project, tree trimming for our phone lines into the radio show. I mean, any home improvement you need, Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects both nationally and in your area. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today. The app and the website is free to use.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Go to StephanieMiller.com to find out how.
Oh, hi, Alec Velshi. Hi.
That is outstanding. There's no thing to be on that's more fun than this because of the walk-on music.
Because we jingle you.
Yeah.
Yes.
You've reported from all over the world, but you've never been jingled.
I'm a man of a certain age. I grew up on jingles, right? I mean, that's all I want in life is jingles. Where did the jingle go?
That's right. Rocky Mountain Mike, bringing it back.
That's right.
Chris, who said Ali Velshi is the soulful, smart, principled, passionate future of American TV journalism? His family story is astonishing and inspiring in equal measure. What a surprising and wonderful book. Who said that?
Barney Rubble.
No. National treasure, Rachel Maddow.
Oh, okay.
Congratulations, Ali, on Small Acts of Courage. I mean, what great timing for this book.
Yeah.
A legacy of endurance and the fight for democracy. I mean, you are a man of our time, sir.
Thank you. Well, you know, the point was to put this book out before we're sort of fully in political season where it's a political book, because it's not. It's really just, it's a book that reminds us that is overwhelming as things seem, with wars and autocracy and the collapse of democracy and trials, we still have agency. We still, and it's something you kind of remind everybody about every time you're on. It's this idea that we still have the vote. That's the price of admission. That's not heroic democracy. But we have a lot of other things we can do. And I keep on talking to people who do little things, like they turn around book bans in their neighborhood, or they get themselves elected to local council, or they show up to demonstrations and protests to get better legislation. So that's my book. It's sort of a history of my family, saying a whole bunch of people did a whole bunch of small things that no one ever took notice of, but together they lead to better things in the end.
Yeah, that's exactly right. This is the second time I quoted Rachel, but she also just was talking about we can get out of this ridiculous timeline.
Yes. that's the thing to remember. It seems so overwhelming, but and for some people in the world it really is, right? There are some situations where people are trapped in a bad situation and it is not, generally speaking, within their power to get out of it. I need to remind people it is within our power to escape this descent into autocracy and this polarization that we've got in our society.
Yeah, I was joking about, you know, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. Ask not what you can do for your country. Can you hit me with a rolled up magazine? Spank me with a rolled up magazine with my face on it? I mean, it's you've got to get out of
one
this.
Of the century's best quotes.
Yeah.
The biggest ick factor ever, this trial yesterday. And just, oh, God, will we ever get out of this timeline? Let's say more about this book, because this is your great grandfather sent his 7-year-old son to live at Tolstoy Farm, Gandhi's ashram in South Africa. You're the most fascinating man in the world.
Yes.
First of all, the difficult decision would change the trajectory of his family history forever. You take us from your childhood, where your grandfather was imbued with an ethos of public service and social justice, a belief in absolute equality among all people, ideals his children carried forward as they escaped apartheid, to emigrating to Kenya and ultimately Canada and the United States. How long have you been running from the law, Ali Velshi?
It's been a long time. Literally, it would have started around 1913 or so. In 1910, Gandhi and my great-grandfather were friends.
Wow.
They came from the same place in Gujarat in India. They didn't know each other from there, but they both ended up in South Africa. my grandfather, great-grandfather was a small businessman, and Gandhi was a lawyer. They shared an accountant. So the accountant introduced them. The two guys became friends. So Gandhi would travel to Pretoria to, you know, meet with the government officials to negotiate whatever thing he was doing with them. And he would stay at my great-grandfather's house. My great-grandfather had a horse-drawn wagon, basically, that he'd allow Gandhi to use to move around. And they'd spend their nights together. And one day, Gandhi says to my great-grandfather, people don't have the spine to fight apartheid. They don't. It wasn't called apartheid at the time. It was just these racist laws. And he said, they don't have what it takes, because fighting it means getting arrested and going to jail. And so he said, can I take your son, 7 years old at the time, this is my grandfather, and have him be my student at my ashram? Mm-hmm. So my great-grandfather says to him, what are you talking about? We're Muslims, you're Hindu. How's he going to learn his religion? Gandhi says to him, I will learn your religion to teach it to him. And Gandhi learned Islam. He learned Judaism. He learned Christianity. And, of course, Hinduism. And he created this pluralistic ashram, a commune, basically, where everybody lived. No hot water, no meat. You grew everything that you ate. You slept on one blanket and you had one on top of you. It was all preparation to go to prison. It was preparation to get arrested in the fight against apartheid and go to jail.
It's amazing. I was hoping that story was then your grandfather told Gandhi to F off. I don't know. I just thought that was F you, Gandhi.
Stop it. Stephanie Lewis.
I don't know anyone else that knew Gandhi.
Oh, God.
That's a fantastic story.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is described as a heartfelt exploration of how we can breathe new life into the principles of pluralistic democracy, an urgent call to action. For progress to be possible, we must all do whatever we can to make a difference. Small acts of courage matter. Sometimes they change the world. Ellie, can I explain how much we need this hopeful, wonderful book right now? Because this is what they hope, is that we will despair and think voting doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Look at the Supreme Court. Nothing matters. We can't do anything. I'm only one
and
person.
It's just not true. That's the thing. And I'm not Pollyanna-ish. You and I have talked for years. I'm not Pollyanna-ish. I just believe, and I have seen with my own eyes, whether it is some of these young state legislators who have taken on their states and gone and changed something, whether it is people who have said, I don't like this book banning thing, I'm going to take it on in my community, whether it's Red, Wine, and Blue or organizations that help people run for office. I think it's amazing what people are doing, and they're in little bits. So part of, you know, there's nothing particularly heroic about my family history. Most people can trace their family history and find things that people did to better themselves or their family. And in doing so, you strengthen the whole operation. So if you fix your student count, your school board from banning a book, you are doing something better. And the point is, it may not look like it's reflecting in the immediate situation that you're fighting. But when I think back to Gandhi, or I think back to my great-grandfather, my grandfather, my father, who was the first person elected, first South Asian, first Muslim elected to major office in Canada, they were only trying to solve one problem in front of them. But in doing so, how would my grandfather, who died thinking that he had failed, know that my father was going to be a member of parliament in Canada? Yeah. That his grandson would be me talking to you. This would have been an impossibility in his life. The concept that you and I would be talking to a national audience would be impossible. Both of us would be arrested by the end of this.
Well, I don't think he'd be that impressed with me. But all you've done is very, I want to get your take, Ellie. Both as a Muslim, you know, as you talk about, and really one of the best journalists out there. this obviously this story about the Middle East. I remember seeing online that MSNBC took off all their Muslim anchors when the war in the Middle East broke out. And I'm like, well, that's funny because I'm watching Ali Velshi on TV 24/7 and I'm on Ayman Mohideen's show today. So unless that was AI, I think Ayman was there, too. But, you know, it's interesting. This is Axios tweets. A new poll hints that the war in Gaza and the accompanying protests might not hurt Biden's election prospects among young voters as much as previously thought. I mean, I feel like we get a new clickbait story every week about how Biden's doomed because XYZ is not going to vote for him. I guess my question is your take on the whole thing and the campus protests, but also, how do you as a journalist, you know, Seth Abramson had a whole thing about the, because some of them are not students, like in terms of figuring out what is going on and how you report on it, right?
Yeah.
Because it's, somebody tweeted, this happens over and over. Right-wing agitators infiltrate left-wing movements, cause violence, and politicians and the media blame the protesters. This has always been their play. When they can't find actual violence to expose, they create it. The media is abdicating their duty. It happened with Black Lives Matter. What is your take on what is happening with this?
You know, Stephanie, the thing I do that I really lean into in my job, wherever I go, whatever I'm covering, whether it's hurricanes or school shootings or wars, is I try and stay on ground level, right? I don't even like being on balconies. I just like to talk to people all the time to try and figure out what the truth is. I think this is one of those situations where A, what's going on in Israel and Gaza is the worst story in the world, right? Yeah, like in my entire career, there's never been a worse story because it so affects individual people. It is so deeply emotional. It's scarred by this complexity of when did these stories start and people having entirely different and conflicting narratives. But in the end, we're not getting beyond this until people actually start to talk to each other, right? It's the essence of tribalism. And we're going to need to figure this out. And I think the best job we can do is spend less time analyzing it and more time listening to the people who are affected by this on campus. And as it relates to this entire war, it's been really complicated to cover. It's been really hard to cover because there are few stories in the world in which the prevailing narrative is so established in people's minds. Yeah. And you combine that with social media, where there's pressure to very quickly put your take onto this whole thing. My issue is that this is a story that people need to read the whole book on. And once you've read the book, you probably have to read another book. And then you have to talk to several people and read yet another book.
Yeah.
And social media particularly, and sometimes cable news and the hot takes and the clickbait, cause us to not really think about how to solve the underlying problem rather than solve all the effects of it. So this is a very difficult one. I think as far as college campuses go, you're right. We have to get to the bottom. We have to talk to more people than sort of assume we know what's going on. Some of these are legitimate on the ground protests. I write about protests in my book. There's a real place for them in our society. And some of them are a contributing factor to us not being able to talk to each other because we won't listen to other people's narratives and their stories. This is a bad one to not listen to other people on.
Yeah.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I mean, well, I've said it. I think Hamas is despicable, and I think Netanyahu's despicable, and it's
yes. And so, but the rest of us are not, and that's the point.
Right.
These people on college campuses, whatever side they're on, and before October 7th, I didn't know you had to be pro-Palestinian
pro-Israeli. I was pro both. Right.
Most people are not one of those things.
That's right.
Only one of those things. So we have to allow that conversation to move to the fore, right?
Yeah.
The people who want reasonable outcomes to this whole thing, the people who realize that reasonable outcomes are not necessarily possible with some of the main players here. I will say, as it relates to Biden, I think there is legitimate frustration out there. And I think the protest votes we've seen in places like Michigan and Wisconsin are alarming. And I think primaries are a good place to do that, to send messages.
Yeah.
I'm not sure elections are a good place to send those messages when the option is the end of democracy.
Thank you.
Nobody who's mad about Biden, about Israel, Gaza, or climate, or whatever they're mad about, who's going to have a better time under Donald Trump. And I understand that's not the point of a protest vote, but it is the reality in which we live. So back to our conversation where we have agency, we have the vote, we have the ability to make decisions. Don't make decisions that would be bad for you in the end.
There you go. And one giant step toward democracy is buying Small Acts of Courage, A Legacy of Endurance on the Fight for Democracy by Ali Velshi. Ali, I don't mean to end on gotcha journalism, but does the eighth grade boy in you giggle a little bit every time you have to say pecker on TV?
This story, I told you the other story we were talking about is the worst story in the world. This one is the hardest one to deliver, I'll have to tell you. All the things that
Pecker's
you have
hard.
To say that
Pecker's
I never
hard.
Thought in my 30-year career so far that I would have to say on TV.
Right.
Let me
have
tell you.
Had to say the word fart? Did you say that?
I didn't have to say it on TV, but I had to have a discussion in editorial meetings about how we cover fart and what we're allowed to say and how one deals with it. So, like I said, new things happening every day in this world of journalism.
Yay. We love you, Ali Velshi. Please come back more often, okay?
Yes.
I absolutely will. Thank
All right.
you.
All right.
Thanks,
there he goes. Patriot, Small Acts of Courage, the book.